Radio Prague News. The European Commission has threatened to halt all further EU subsidies to the Czech Education Ministry over a lack of transparency and mistakes in public orders. The Lower House of Parliament has started debating a controversial bill on the restitution of church property. And the Prague City Council met for an emergency session on Friday to deal with problems relating to the cold snap. The European Commission has threatened to halt all further EU subsidies to the Czech Education Ministry over a lack of transparency and mistakes in public orders. The move would effectively bar the ministry from drawing any more money from the Education for Competitiveness operational programme with a budget of 53 billion crowns. The Education Minister argues that the mistakes were made before he took office and has promised to set things right within a couple of months. The Lower House of Parliament has started debating a controversial bill on the restitution of church property. The new legislation has backing from coalition MPs but is strongly opposed by the Social Democrats and Communists, who have called for a referendum to be held on the issue. If the bill is approved, 17 Czech churches and religious societies will receive 56% of the physical property that was confiscated by the communist regime in the 1950s, worth around 75 billion crowns. For the rest, the churches would receive 59 billion crowns over a period of 30 years. The Prague City Council met for an emergency session on Friday to deal with problems relating to the cold snap. The most serious crisis occurred on the city's southern motorway, where the freeze burst a water pipe and gushing water onto the highway created an ice ring on a long stretch of the road. The road was cleared and traffic was fully restored by the late afternoon. Nighttime lows reached record highs of close to minus 40 degrees Celsius in many parts of the country, and cities are taking measures to help homeless people. Five people have already died of exposure since the Arctic temperatures hit. Charities have come to the aid of needy people left in the lurch by the late distribution of social welfare benefits. A new computer system that was introduced as part of a far-reaching social reform has proved unreliable, resulting in the late distribution of social welfare benefits to thousands of people, including families with children. Charities have been providing people in need with emergency aid, distributing packages containing basic food products to help tide them over the next few days. The Labour and Social Ministry is under fire over the scandal, and the minister has promised to dismiss those responsible. The Czech Republic has the highest number of tick-borne encephalitis cases in the European Union. TBE is a mild to fatal viral infection which affects the central nervous system. Last year, doctors registered 861 cases and five people died of it. As compared to 2010, the number of infected was up by 48%. Despite repeated doctors' warnings, only around a fifth of Czechs get vaccinated against TBE, as compared to 80% of the population in neighbouring Austria. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weather is expected to continue clear and sunny, with daytime highs dropping to minus 12 degrees Celsius and nighttime lows to around minus 20. In the mountain regions and isolated frost hollows, temperatures could drop to minus 40 degrees. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Thank you for joining us. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Fellinger. Coming up in today's program, a group of MPs has completed a proposal which could legalize cannabis in the Czech Republic for medical use. We'll also have a roundup of business news, including how Czechs see the current economic situation. And then stay tuned for the arts, when you can meet J.I., who is from the Czech music scene. Stay tuned. A group of Czech MPs from all of the parties in the Chamber of Deputies has completed legislation which could legalize the use of cannabis in the Czech Republic for medical purposes. Currently, thousands of sufferers from debilitating diseases such as Parkinson's, Lyme, borreliosis, and multiple sclerosis have been forced to break the law to obtain marijuana to help ease their pain, a situation which could change if the bill passes in the lower house. According to reports, the medical use of cannabis in the Czech Republic could be legal within the year. A little earlier, I spoke about the bill with Dr. Tomáš Zábranský, a leading drugs expert who was involved in the process.
It does represent relief. I mean, this is a proposal which was originally driven by a pressure of organizations, of patients, of people suffering with multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's disease and a couple of other illnesses. And I'm very happy to see that the legislators at the parliament took this up and promises to push this through the legislative process. So the quick answer is relief, help.
Now, this bill seems unusual in the sense that representatives from all five parliamentary parties agreed on it. Is this the exception to the usual?
Well, this bill is the exception, but it's not the only exception. I mean, we've seen more of this. In 2011, there was, a law on drugs where the parliamentary parties across the political spectrum actually united and helped to push very quickly a bill through the parliament which prohibited certain substances which were harmful and were not on the list of regulated substances. So it seems that this topic is quite unpolitical, let's say. The other part of the story is that the petition and the patients have a strong support of the Medical Association of the Czech Republic. All of this was heavily supported by the head of the Czech Parliament. So, and she's really seen as very decent, unaggressive, unifying person. So I wouldn't be that sure we have the support of all the political parties. But obviously the intention to make medical cannabis available has a support in all the parties. So the law was actually proposed to the parliament by the representatives of all the parties. But I think there might be people who doesn't like it in all the parties. In the same time, this petition, this intention to make medical cannabis available for ill people has 80% public support in the Czech Republic. So it might be difficult for political representatives to say, we don't care.
Cannabis, of course, has a stigma associated with it as an illegal substance, but there isn't really any question in many experts' minds that it can be beneficial, correct?
There's none. I mean, the first step which the expert group of the Czech government did was they asked 70 different expert communities of Czech medical doctors, do you believe this is an evidence-based treatment which you want to see and to use? And the answer from 10 societies, oncologists, people who deal with the treatment of pain, people who deal with the neurologic diseases, and a couple of the others, at the end it was 10 of them who said, yes, this is an evidence-based approach and we want to use it. So it has support. Another thing, I mean, you said it's a prohibited substance or prohibited plant. However, I mean, you have more precedences like this in the medicine. I mean, opium is a prohibited extract of poppy. In the same time, it's an approved medicine, right? Heroin, probably not, but morphine is used on a normal basis, and on the street, it's an illegal drug. So there are substances which are in the same time prohibited to be used recreationally, but they have a very good use in the medicine.
And that was Dr. Tomáš Zábranský talking to me about a proposal now on the table for legalizing cannabis in the Czech Republic for medical purposes. If you've been following the story and have an opinion and think it should be legalized or maybe not, why not write to us here at Radio Prague? The address to write to is english@radio.cz. If you like, you can also start some discussion on the issue on our Facebook page. So be sure to look that up on the internet. Now, though, it's time for all the latest in business news, and for that I'm joined in the studio by Sara Borůvka.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas has announced that the government will have to save an estimated additional 26 billion Czech crowns this year. He added that he had based this estimate on the finance ministry's GDP growth prediction of 0.2% for 2012. A more recent forecast of the country's economic output that the Czech National Bank released on Thursday expects the economy to stagnate in 2012. Previously, the bank had predicted a growth of 1.2%. Commenting on the finance ministry's estimate, which was released on Tuesday, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek made it clear that due to the uncertainty in the eurozone, a recession could not be ruled out. For next year, the ministry expects growth of 1.6%. In October, a preliminary state budget deficit of 105 billion Czech crowns was passed. It was based on an assumed GDP growth of 2.5%, but will have to be adjusted to reflect the lower-than-expected numbers.
And Czech member of European Parliament Jan Zahradil of the Civic Democrats has said in an interview with the Daily Hospodářské noviny that the Czech Republic has not lost anything by not joining the EU's fiscal compact. By doing so, the country has sent the signal that not all EU states are ready to unconditionally support a transfer of powers, he said, from the national to the European level. He added that the country should also take steps to free itself from pressure to join the common currency zone, since the conditions under which the Czech Republic could join the eurozone had changed. The Czech Republic and the UK were the only two EU member states to not sign off on the fiscal compact, which is aimed at establishing tighter fiscal discipline across the European Union.
Meanwhile, Agriculture Minister Petr Bendl is set to dismiss Budějovický Budvar Brewery CEO Jiří Boček, the Daily Hospodářské noviny writes on Friday. Mr. Bendl has ordered an audit at the brewery and has criticized Mr. Boček for delays in a trademark dispute with the American brewery Anheuser-Busch. The minister himself has declined to comment on what he has labeled speculation on whether he will remove the state-owned brewery CEO from his post. Prime Minister Petr Nečas said that the cabinet had not yet discussed the matter, but that no decision would be made until he has a report on the brewery. Anheuser-Busch and Budějovický Budvar have been leading a fierce legal battle for decades. The term Budweiser comes from Budweis, the German name for České Budějovice, the South Bohemian town where Budvar is produced.
The Czech Republic's nuclear power plants exported record levels of energy in 2011 when nuclear energy exports reached the highest level in the country's history. According to preliminary figures from CHEPS, the country's sole transmission system operator, last year's energy exports reached 17.4 terawatt hours, 1.2 terawatt hours more than the previous record. The biggest purchaser of Czech nuclear energy was Germany, which bought more than half of the exported energy, followed by Slovakia and Austria. Experts say that last year's export record of Czech nuclear power is due to the closing down of nuclear plants in Germany.
Nearly two-thirds of Czechs see the current economic situation as negative. In a poll conducted by the Public Opinion Research Center, some 42% answered that the country's economy was bad, and 20% even described the situation as very bad. Only 7% of those polled said the economy was in very good shape. The survey found that young people between 15 and 19 and university graduates are among the more optimistic, while those who are over 60 or retired tend to see the situation pessimistically. In addition, the poll suggests that voters of right-wing or center-right parties are more likely to consider the economy sound than those who would give their vote to the Social Democrats or the Communists.
Sarah Borovka with the latest news from the world of business there, including how many people see the economic situation not being very well off currently in the Czech Republic. We'll have to hope that that gets better soon. Now, though, we're going to turn to today's arts, which we first broadcast for you back in September of 2010. It's another chance for you to meet Czech musician and singer J.I. Anyone familiar with the Czech electronic and dance music scene will have come across the work of Jitka Charvátová, also known as J.I., the charismatic and talented former singer for cutting-edge groups like Skyline and the late Milan Hlavsa's 1990s band Fiction. Now Jitka has reset her career with a recently released but already highly praised new solo album called Feed My Lion, featuring 8-bit electropop and elements of hip-hop. The singer produced much of the album herself on her Apple laptops before she connected with producer-musician Armin Effenberger of Cartonage fame, who came in on the successful collaborative project. The final release, including the first single, Real Life, has already drawn rave reviews and will no doubt make many fans of electronic music very happy. I was able to catch up with J.I. this week to ask her to tell me more about the album, including just how it fit into the context of her earlier career.
No, já, ať jsem vstoupila vlastně do Fiction nebo do Skyline, tak jsem...
Before, when I sang for Fiction or for Skyline, I was entering projects that were already well-defined and were already up and running. I only had to add my own contribution, my own element. I wasn't inventing worlds. Of course, both bands were very different in style. Skyline was more about energy and party and dance, while Fiction was more about the message and the lyrics. With Fiction, we put out 3 albums, and I was with Skyline for 6 years, so putting out my own album was something different.
Textově si myslím zásadní.
The first thing J.I. did when she decided she would strike out in a new direction was to lock herself away with Gandalf the White. No, not the Lord of the Rings character. Just her favorite laptop.
Já jsem v počátku se na rok zavřela domů do svého domácího studia.
I locked myself in my small studio for a year using my Mac that I had nicknamed Gandalf the White. I also have a smaller one called Gandalf the Grey, and they were my buddies. I could rely on them to bring my ideas to life. I knew how to use Logic software from working 12 years in radio, and even if I knew only 5% of everything that the program had to offer, it made much more sense for me than composing for the guitar or piano. The Macs helped me give form to my ideas and allowed me to put together most of the album as a demo, adding bits and sounds as I liked.
Které jsou uložené a já se k ním vlastně ani nevím, že tam jsou a můžu se k ním dostat.
As chance would have it, a friend in the music business who had introduced J.I. to the great Milan Hlavsa, who was formerly of the underground band The Plastic People of the Universe, in the 90s, now introduced her to Armin Effenberger, the man behind Cartonage. And he brought in all kinds of different ideas, and J.I. says it really wasn't hard to collaborate.
It was really fun and exciting, and I gave him a lot of room, a lot of space to add things, and we both had a really good time. Like me, Armin is very much an open person, and together, it was like being on a rocket ship traveling into space. The CD is the result.
Nechali jsme to bejt a došlo to vlastně k tomu cíli, v jakém to je.
Space, physical, implied, and imagined is one important element or motif returned to repeatedly on the album, both during popular sequences, but most often during atmospheric moments. It's no surprise, J.I. is a well-known fan of science fiction, including Arthur C. Clarke, such as 2001, A Space Odyssey, or stories by Ray Bradbury. And for her, creating music is not far from weaving fantastical worlds with their own rules and characteristics and balance. And it's a metaphor which she isn't afraid to use, and one that is echoed in some of the graphics even on the album cover, the old computer game Space Invaders, also reflected in 8-bit in the music.
Armin ty 8-bitové zvuky má strašně rád. Já jsem ze začátku, když jsem je slyšela, tak mi běhala mráz.
Armin loves 8-bit sounds, but it took me a while to get used to them. They remind me of the 1980s, and the primitiveness of the sound irritated me at first. But it is provocative and makes you think, and that's what I like about it. As for science fiction, for me, it is similar to making electronic music. Worlds invented by someone become intuitively real. You can really believe that they exist somewhere. It can be written, painted, composed, and that kind of fantastical world can be beautiful.
Tím mi ten svět připadne naprosto fantastický a krásný.
Somewhat more down to earth in its simple or straightforward approach, more than one Czech critic has noted, is the single off the album, Real Life, already getting plenty of play on commercial stations. Of all the material she demoed, that song underwent the greatest changes. J.I. once again.
Real Life, yeah. Vlastně velmi jednoduchá písnička, my jsme ji vybrali.
Real Life is a very simple song that we chose for the radio. It's the simplest both in terms of the music and lyrics. It is the one song that was transformed the most. Each sound we added, it was like building something out of Lego. We would add this and that, and then Armin would work on it overnight, and I'd come in the next day and say yes or no. The final version was the simplest, but the funny thing is that there was an initial problem with these sort of stops and starts we introduced throughout the song, something we were really excited about. On the radio, they worried it didn't flow enough, but we were uncompromising. The point of things is always in the details.
Real Life and other songs on the album have already drawn interest from other artists on the dance and electronic music scene for potential remixes, Jitka Charvátová says, and that's a development she's very happy about. As for the album as a whole, for anyone interested in electronic music, there is certainly plenty to explore, including a new version of the song Tiger, drawing on J.I.'s initial experience with fiction. To no small degree, the song, which, like its earlier version, makes use of text by the poet William Blake and is a tribute to Milan Hlavsa. Now, if you'd like to learn more information about J.I. or want to listen to more samples, it's easy, you can visit her website. It's jitkacharvatova.com. Take a burning bright in the forest of tonight. On him all hands arrive. Could the people see me try? In what distance leaves those skies? Burn the fire of the night. On what wings that burn the fire of your eyes. On what wings dare you aspire? With a hand dare seize the fire? On what shoulder and what art could twist the sinews of your heart? On what the heart began to beat? And that edition of The Arts was first broadcast way back in 2010 in September. J.I., great guest and very interesting musical personality here in the Czech Republic. That brings us just about to the end of today's program. Well, actually not yet. We still have another episode of our ongoing language series, The ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková. That's coming up next.
We've reached the letter S, and today we'll talk about signs. When you get off a plane, a train, a bus, what first greets you is signs, signs and more signs. True, some of them are in English or other languages too, but in smaller towns at least, you'll have to rely on your knowledge of Czech. In today's program, we're going to explain at least some of the most common signs. As you get off a plane, you'll probably look for passport control or
pasová kontrola
and customs or
celní kontrola.
After you pass those, you'll be looking for an exit sign, which is
východ.
This word can be easily mistaken for its exact opposite,
vchod,
which means entrance. Vladimir will now repeat them for you once again.
Východ
means exit, whereas
vchod
is entrance. If you want to know which way to run in an emergency, look for the sign
nouzový východ
or emergency exit. Another two signs which might sound and look frustratingly similar to a foreign visitor are
otevřeno,
open, and
zavřeno,
closed. If you're not 100% sure if a place is open or closed, you should try the door. In that case, you'll want to know whether you push or pull it open. In Czech, the signs read
sem,
which actually means here and tells you to pull the door towards you, and the other is
tam,
meaning there, in which case you have to push the door to open it. In many public places, you'll find the sign
zákaz kouření,
which means no smoking. If a sign reads
zákaz vstupu,
it means no entry. There is another pair of signs which could at times be really important. Unless there are internationally comprehensible symbols on the doors, you simply have to be able to tell between the words
muži
and
ženy
in public toilets. Well,
muži
stands for men and
ženy
means women. There is another pair which is also used frequently.
Páni
and
dámy.
The first word
páni
stands for gentlemen and
dámy
for ladies. And that's all for today's edition, but the ABC of Czech will be back next week with more useful vocabulary and phrases.
The ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková and the letter S. I'm always reminded of Sesame Street and my childhood whenever I hear those letters. It's sort of like today, brought to you by the letter S. Well, if you grew up with Sesame Street, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, I'm rambling on here, but if you have anything that you'd like to say about today's program and would like to comment on anything you've heard or just have any questions for us here at the station, don't forget it's easy to contact us at Radio Prague. The address is english@radio.cz. And if you'd like our street address, that's Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. I'm not giving you my personal address at home, though. Tough luck not giving out that information. That's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and take care. Bye-bye.